This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Dr. Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida.
Are you sure? I'm Jamie Jennings from, not in Phoenix. I'm actually still in Solvang, California at Flag Is Up Farms. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 28th, episode 1554, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, horse world, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live but once, and when you're dead, you're done. So let the good times roll.
Well, good Friday morning to everyone out there. Yes, Glenn is at some geeky podcasting conference, and so the girls are all alone, and yay. I am with my friend, Dr. Wendy Ying. Hi, Wendy.
Hello. I'm so happy it's Girls' Day on Friday.
I know. We've got Jennifer here. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hello, everybody.
So we are going to have a whole lot of fun today. I'm really excited. And it's my last day here at Flag Is Up Farms. It's been a heck of a week. Heck of a week. Wendy, I'm here because I've decided to get my certification attempt to start the process for my certification as a Monty
so
Roberts
proud
instructor.
Of you.
A little bit like a PhD.
That's awesome.
I should have a veterinary degree after this. You and I should go into practice together after the 600 pages of equine things. By the way, those are front and back pages. They're not just
one
page.
Oh my gosh.
And so I had
a lot of reading.
Truth be told here, I'm 39 years old, Wendy.
Yeah.
I probably finished college around 19. So that makes it about 20 years since I have had a test. 20 years.
That's lifelong learning, Jamie.
Sure it is. I took my first exam on Wednesday morning, my first written exam, and it was two sections of the 600. So it was about 200 pages that I had to write. And these tests are not like, because I was like, is it multiple choice? She goes, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Essay questions?
Essay.
Oh my God. I couldn't do that.
Oh. And so I sat down.
Essay questions.
Yeah. Because you can't lie. You can't BS your way through an essay question because you look like an idiot. If you do. And when I sat down, Wendy, I went to pick up my pen and my hands were shaking.
Oh,
like, you had to write with a pen?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, your hand must have cramped up. Nobody writes anymore.
My forearm is so sore because the first morning I wrote 16 pages front and back. And then yesterday morning I had
What were they testing you on? What did you write 16 pages about?
Okay. So like, Wednesday morning was you get like 7 questions and you get to pick 3 that you kind of know the most about. So say Wednesday morning, they were like, what is laminitis? What are its causes? And what are the treatments? Yeah. I think that answer was like 9 pages in itself. And then yesterday, one of the questions was, you know, basically like how the small intestine works and what are the things that are digested in it and all the, you know, that thing and kind of going over the digestive system. And then it was all the way to what is the purpose of a pre-purchase exam and what are the steps that you did that the veterinarian would take in the pre-purchase exam and what are like, so that
that's a good one for you.
Oh, it was great. I've hashtag nailed it. but some of the others, I mean, my gosh. And the problem is, of the last section, the test yesterday was about 300 pages of material. It was the last three sections. And the good news is I have this mare in foal. So I was actually really interested in the breeding. So I like, what are the first phases of labor and what is colostrum and what do you need? What happens if they don't get the colostrum and where are you going to then? So that was like 10 pages I wrote. But the other part was the digestive system. And I thought, I'm going to nail it. I'm going to talk about colic. And and so I studied spasmodic colics and gastric colics and all impaction colics and every kind of colic I know all about. And colic was not on the test. Ah! Like, no! Wow.
That's good to know.
Well, I said, I studied colic so much. And she goes, she's German. She'll be on the show later. She goes, well, your horses will thank you.
You know what? I can tell you a little tip from someone that's taken a lot of tests.
Where were you Monday?
Well, the good thing about essay questions is that, you know what? Your instructors aren't going to read the whole thing. So if they like you, they're going to give you a good grade.
You know what? I would think that, except for usually there's 8 to 10 people in this test, and I just happened to get lucky, and there's only two of us. Ooh. So I'm pretty sure she's reading all of it because it's not that much, you know, I mean, probably, you know, the other girl probably wrote 30 pages. I wrote 30 pages. Right. She usually has
you're likable.
250. You're very nice. You don't know me when I'm not when I'm studying. I'm a mess.
A's.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's been really challenging. And then the exam part where you basically have to perform a full join up, which is you go into Monty's round pen and you draw a horse's name out of a hat. Okay. And you get that horse and you have to do a full join up, tacking the vulnerable areas. He has like an entire system. I don't know how I've ever thought I did join up before because it's totally so much more detailed. And so then you do the full join up and then you do vulnerable areas and then you do his tacking up procedure, which is his tack and his procedure. I mean, it is like detail, which by the way, I wholesale screwed up one part of it. And then you do the long lining and then you do the untacking and then you do what they call quality time. And then nobody speaks to you, by the way, when you're doing this.
Super nervous? I would be super nervous.
Oh, guess what horse I drew?
Which one?
Chrome, Monty's horse.
Oh my God. Well, at least he knows you know what's the bad part is? If Monty does everything like that, like if he's very metal and does everything with a system, Chrome's going to know when you're not doing it right.
Oh, Chrome was more than happy to not be in the hot walker while Monty was out of town. Let me go ahead and tell you that. Chrome was incredibly challenging, actually, because I was kind of like, Chrome is a very big, muscular, fantastic quarter horse who knows his job and he knows, I mean, he spins and sliding stops and changes, but he hasn't really been in a round pen probably recently in a while. And he was bucking and farting and kicking. No. And it was actually the join up part was really fun. I just screwed up the long lining part. So you get, it's like a dressage test. Apparently you get marks on every individual movement.
Oh, so from 1 to 10.
I don't know what the scoring was, but somebody told me that. So here's the deal. Just because I don't like to be normal or low stress on myself, I've decided to, because this morning we have a meeting where you find out she breaks down what you did and how it went and your scores and whether you passed or failed. And so that typically is around 9 o'clock this morning. But just to add to the fun, Denise is going to come on to our show at 9:50 Eastern and give me my pass or fail live on the air.
Oh my God. I'm in suspense. I can't wait.
I know. Me neither. I'm actually a nervous wreck. My palms are sweaty. I don't know. It seemed like such a good idea yesterday. But as of this morning, I'm thinking that was probably a bad call.
So, I think you passed.
Oh, geez. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Anyway, on today's show, besides having Denise on to tell me whether my life is over or not, we are going to have Stephanie Griffiths in just a few minutes, actually, who is live at the Thoroughbred Makeover. And then we're going to talk to Mary Miller Jordan. And I've wanted to talk to her for a while because she adopted a BLM burrow. And kind of the way she got it was really neat. And then we're going to have Denise on. And then we got really bad ads. So stick around. We got a prize. The prize we're giving away is next week. So it's kind of a big deal. So you're going to want to check it out. Anyway, so Wendy, let's have your daily Winnie.
All right.
Wait. You got to wait for the noise. There you go.
Okay. My daily Winnie is to my friend Ona Schmidt. And she was a former four-in-hand navigator. And then she retired from that. And she has a natural dog treat company. And she was actually my first food therapy client with her puppy. And it was kind of like she found me the way you were finding me about Lucky with itchy skin. And she and I are co-authoring a food therapy cookbook.
No way.
Yeah. She's getting my butt in gear and making me do it.
Oh, that's so cool. I can't wait to read it. That's fantastic. You're going to be published. Yes.
Well, I don't know. If Anna can get us on the ball, she can do it. She's going to whip me into shape. But you can find her at Doggone Good Goodies on Facebook. And she goes to like different farmers markets. So I'm going to the farmers market in St. Petersburg with her next month. I'm super excited.
That's awesome. How fun.
Yeah.
You're going to be published.
Well, the first recipe we're working on is going to be Lucky's recipe.
Oh, really? Good. Yep. I still need it.
I know.
Sounds good. Sorry. Jennifer? So on Monday, Wendy, we were talking on the show because I believe it was Kate, Princess Kate, was talking about how her little one, Charlotte, is a big fan of horses. That's 18 months or something. She has a love for horses. So I decided to post on our Facebook page. The question of the day was, did your mom ride? Where did you get your love of horses? We're going to cover these answers a little bit later. But let me just tell you, this is one of the most popular posts we've had in a long time. And people love talking about their mama or their grandmama or their granddaddy or their daddy or their uncle or whatever. And people posted pictures. It was so cool. So before we get to that, when you're kind of bored on the show, just start looking through those and pick out some of your favorites and we'll go over them. Then right. We're going to have to cover some because I thought I would kind of be able to kind of form some hypothesis on where those of us who have this disease got it from. And I'll give you my results coming up, but it was very interesting to hear everybody. And I do believe Jennifer is out working on getting Stephanie on from the Thoroughbred Makeover. Have you checked out any of the Thoroughbred Makeover stuff that's going on?
Oh, yeah. I think that is such a fun idea to do because Thoroughbreds are so, I mean, that was like America's riding horse for the most part up until we started importing the warm bloods for the hunters and the fox hunters. And for me, I love the open hunter division and congratulations goes to our listener, Lindsay, who just won the fox hunting division.
What? She won it?
Yeah, she won it. And she did. It's the field hunter division, which I love the field hunters because it really shows like, can you train a horse to have manners and be in a group and you have to open a gate? And it's like a cross between eventing and competitive trail.
That's awesome. Wow, that's hardcore. That's no joke. Now I was looking over because Wednesday I was Mustang shopping online. I figured I'd Thoroughbred shop online today. Okay. These horses have been in training for 9 months. Can I just be real here for a second? There are a lot of people who have a lot of higher expectations of how much money other people are going to spend on a horse that's been in training for 9 months. Have you looked at these horses for sale?
I haven't looked at them for sale.
Holy
The makeover horses?
The makeover horses. The horses that are for sale, because basically what Stuart, who kind of created this, decided to do was to basically be a marketplace also for these people that want to sell their horses.
Yeah.
And what he decided to do is just, it's just a website. He didn't get any cut of anything, nothing like that. It's just a website that people can list the horses. And if you're shopping for a thoroughbred, you can go and watch them ride and watch the demos and all that. Anyway, I'm looking at horses that are for sale for $30,000.
Wow. And they've only been in training for 9 months off the trail?
9 months. I didn't realize that. I think I saw maybe two or three that are under $10,000. I'm telling you what, I'm going to find out if people started selling horses, because I'm going to sign up next year. Hey, 9 months training, you can walk, track, canter, jump, you know, walk, track, canter, jump. And these horses are selling for $12,000 to $15,000. Like, that's insanity. I love the fact that these horses are going to go for that much. So, you know, I mean, but you know, something's only worth what somebody will pay for it.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how many horses actually get sold in this, you know what I mean?
But you know, maybe on the relative scale, like, you know, people see these thoroughbreds going for like hundreds of thousands of dollars as babies. So 30,000.
I've often thought that when I've gone to the track to purchase horses from people, a lot of the times these racehorse trainers will value their horse as a racehorse. And you have to understand that when they're at the track and they're racing, yes, they're very, very valuable. But when they're done racing, that value totally drops off and they become an untrained horse, basically, or a horse that needs retraining. So it is always interesting to me to see how people value their horses. So you know what? If you've got $20,000 to $25,000 to spend on a horse that has 9 months training, hell yes, do it, girl. Whatever you want. But lucky person that was able to make that sale. I mean, that's that rate of return for 9 months of work to make $35,000. You know what? $25,000 riding a horse. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but how many sold? How many sold at that price?
That's what I'm interested to find out, is how many are going to sell. And so I guess we'll try to get a count afterwards. But it is really...
Look, at one of these is a barrel racing horse and they want $30,000 for it. Mare.
Yep. It's... and again, this is a thoroughbred barrel racer that's had 9 months of training.
Well...
See?
I don't know, isn't it? Maybe we should change what we're doing. You're right. Maybe we should participate in this.
I'm quitting this job and I'm going to go ahead and train racehorses for next year's retired racehorse. I think I have to wait a couple months. So I'll work for a little bit longer, but then I'm out of here. Because
I don't think I can do it. I'm too old to ride thoroughbreds anymore.
Really?
They're too wild.
Don't say that, Wendy.
I need big, fat, slow ones.
Well, then you could spend $30,000 and get one that's in the show hunter division. Be nice and slow. I mean, they can't be wild if they're all doing field hunters. Maybe talk to what was it, Lindsay, who won? Yeah, see? Perfect. All right. So, Jennifer, have you looked through any of the horses for sale?
Glenn's not here either, so he won't know.
I know.
Oh, yeah. You need another one. You need a bay. You have a chestnut. Now you need a bay.
This chestnut is keeping me plenty busy. Thank you very much. I can barely walk today.
Oh, yeah.
I loved your post.
A lot of cantering, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Well, I kind of took a page from the Monty Roberts Book of Training, because he doesn't really have a right lead. And I knew that going in. She said, well, even my trainer can't get him to pick up his right lead. So I did get him to pick it up once before I bought him. So I confirmed that it does exist. So I just let him canter around to the left lead got so tired he wanted to take the right. Like, Well, there we go.
Can I suggest something? Can I suggest you call your friends Wendy and Kyle to come visit you in Ocala for a chiropractic adjustment?
Definitely needs a chiropractic adjustment. Absolutely.
Instead of just scanning to the left till his left is so sore it matches his right?
No, it was tired. Not sore. It's different.
It's different. No, I know. I'm just
okay,
kidding.
I found my horse.
Which
here's
one?
Here's my horse. He is a 16-hand chestnut gelding. He's 6 years old. He's currently showing in like the 2 foot hunter division, and his bargain price is $25,000.
Zousers!
What the hell?
That's cheap.
And he's in Oklahoma, so it's just perfect.
God.
And by the way, I mean, again, you can tell he's had 9 months of training.
Well,
yeah, I quit.
You know what? Can I just, if you go to general listings instead of the makeover sale horses, they're more reasonably priced.
Well, of course they are, but that's not what I want to do. I want to go to the makeover.
The famous ones?
Find
well, you, horse. You need to pay the premium price then.
Oh, this one here, Reading Group, is his name is Charlie, and he is 99,999,998,999.
No way.
It says that, but I haven't read the ad yet. Let's see. That one's 10,000. Oh, 28 grand. Here we go. Let's see what this one is. Oh, there's no, not even a picture available.
You know, these are expensive, but I bet you they have both leads.
Yeah, so you get what you pay for, huh?
Maybe, maybe not.
Jennifer, just to back up what Wendy said, I took this horse when I lived in Kentucky. His name was Light Up the Ice, and he was this beautiful bay, but had been standing in a field for God knows how long. There's a lot of horses that in Kentucky, they're just standing in fields because they came off the track and people turned them out and haven't done anything with them. So I bought him, I think, for the bargain price of like $400 or something. Woo-hoo. And he was so
have three gates.
No.
No.
It turns out he could not canter on the left lead. I mean, or maybe it was the right lead. I can't remember. It was a while ago. Could not canter. And I mean, you could turn him out, you could put him in a round pin, you could do anything you want to do, and the horse would not pick up the right lead. And I was super frustrated. And so I had him adjusted. The only thing I could think of was to have a chiropractor out. One adjustment, just one. I would have done more had it, he needed it. One adjustment, the horse goes out after he had like had to have stall rest for like 2 days or something. Again, this is a while ago. So correct me if I'm screwing up, Wendy, but he had some stall rest just to let the adjustments soak in and went out and picked up the right lead canter and never looked back. He ended up, actually, I sold him 9 months later for 25. No, I'm just kidding. I sold him to a hunter jumper, and he went on to be the A show hunter champion in Kentucky, like the KHJA champion. And this is a horse that was in a field that could not canter. It was insane.
I'm going to haul Nigel down to your house this weekend. That's it.
Okay.
I'm coming.
I'm so jealous.
You should come. Come down in November.
You
should come, Jamie. You can come anytime.
I want that hot boyfriend of yours to adjust me.
Oh, well, then just fly over to Sarasota. He does acupuncture too.
I think we've got our guest here. We're going to get right. Live. Are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Hello, Stephanie. You're live.
Hello.
Good morning.
Stephanie, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good. How are you?
You are asleep, aren't you?
I've had one coffee. It's not quite enough.
Well,
I slept on an air mattress last night, so I didn't sleep very well.
So you're in Kentucky. You're in Lexington. Are you obviously you're not in a hotel. Are you sleeping on somebody's floor?
Yes. Allison's dad lives out here now. He's got a little apartment, so I'm staying with her and another woman, Nancy, who came for the trip from North Carolina. So it's a slumber party.
And where are you from?
New York.
New York. Okay. So kind of like y'all just congregated from all over the country and you're sleeping on a floor, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Genius. All you in one apartment. I love
it. Horse show party.
I know. Yeah, give us kind of the feel of, we were just talking about all the horses that are for sale and the unbelievable prices that people are asking.
Yeah.
But,
oh my gosh, the first horse I started riding, which was not that long ago, was an off-track thoroughbred, and I just absolutely fell in love with him. And so since, I've always kind of had a weak spot for the breed, and I've wanted to come down here for this. But I kind of written it off because of this whole property situation. I didn't think I was going to have the money. And I called Allison to see if I could crash with her while I'm closing on this property. And she was like, oh, well, I'm going to Thoroughbred Makeover. I'm like, oh my gosh, can I come too? So I flew to Kentucky and then we'll drive back to North Carolina. But so the day yesterday was just unbelievable. I just being in a sea of thoroughbreds just made my heart happy. And, aww, you know, I went and watched, I sat in a couple of the round tables. I learned so much, even though I don't have a rescue and I'm probably not going to take a horse off the track anytime soon. But when I'm ready to, I learned so much about doing that. And then I went out and saw some of the show jumpers and show hunters. They were kind of like right next to each other. So I just kind of stood in the middle in the little pavilion and just walked back and forth and watched them. And then I walked over to the field to watch the field hunters go. And they started out, sort of as a fox hunt sort of thing, like the hunt master and the dogs and like party horses following them behind. It was just such a sight to see. And then they did their little run that I guess is their competition. I don't know a lot about field hunters, but just to stand there next to probably 30 thoroughbreds who are standing still, who, you know, the ones that I've dealt with didn't know how to stand still.
right.
You know, standing still, one girl went and she did quite well, except for they had this gate exercise where they had to, you know, open the gate, go out of it, close it behind them. She had some trouble with that. But so she was asking the gentleman who was making the announcements if she could go, because she was like, I have to go over to show jumping. And then she made a comment like, oh, well, he didn't do so bad for, you know, I pulled him off the track 7 weeks ago. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, the fact that some of these horses literally just came off and, you know, just they're just such amazing animals and they're so smart and so athletic. It's just, it just warms my heart that this movement is growing. And people are really giving these horses jobs instead of putting them on a truck.
Stuart really had a vision. Yeah. Stuart Pittman, who created the Retired Racehorse Project, really had a vision. And his whole idea was to give value to the off-the-truck thoroughbred. And do you feel like that has been massively accomplished?
Absolutely. Massively. And you know what I loved about it was that, so as I'm standing there in the field and all of these riders are going and they have, you know, some of their friends and family around just watching. Everyone was so supportive. You know, there were some people that had several issues with the gate thing. And I would assume thoroughbreds, some of them might have issues with gates. You know, that's kind of natural. But, you know, when they got that gate thing done, the whole crowd would cheer for them. And, you know, a couple of them had a little bit of trouble at the water. And, you know, once that the rider got that horse to step in the water, the whole crowd cheered for them. It was like everybody was just, and some of them had issues with the jumps, and it was the same thing, you know, where everybody was just so supportive of each other, and more importantly, the horse, you know, just everybody was cheering them on. And it was just, it's just such an amazing feeling.
That is awesome.
There obviously is a little bit of competition, but I think people are really coming out for the breed more than they are caring about the competition as much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it warms my heart that they've made this amount of progress in, you know, the few years that he's been doing this, and just the amount of people and amount of there. It's just a sea of thoroughbreds. They're everywhere you look. There's, you know, they're coming to and from the barn, or they're in the warm up arena. They're just everywhere you look. And it's just, it makes me feel really good about, you know, sort of the whole horse, because I've always been very torn about the horse racing sort of industry. And it, so, you know, just, it shows you that people are really, you know, really, really out there and really in support of the breed.
Well, and that's the other
and
part
realizing
too.
Their value.
Yeah. And that was the other part too, that Stuart kind of wanted to achieve, was to By giving these off-the-track thoroughbreds value, he's encouraging trainers to retire their horses sound because now their horses are more valuable afterwards. They're not meat products anymore, you know? I mean, not that... Now, come on. Not every trainer feels like that. There are bad people in every sport, but there's amazing people in other sports too. I mean, I adopted Edward and he was running at a fairground and that guy wanted him to retire sound. So he had been all Santa Anita all the way trickled down to the Rito Downs in Tucson, Arizona. So, you know, there's good people everywhere. And I think that's what Stuart
there
was really.
Are.
Yeah. Well, that's fun and, that it's so supportive. Go ahead.
Yeah. There were the two women that were talking yesterday in the sort of resellers round table. And basically both of them worked at, they were both eventers. They both worked at tracks. They were both, you know, like, what do you call them? Practice riders. So they had relationships with the jockeys, with the trainers, with the owners. So they help, you know, pull horses to get them for their like eventing friends or just various clients because they know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one girl was saying she's got some like high level eventers calling her for horses and they're, you know, they're some of them she's trying to basically convince. And she's like, well, you know, you could import your $80,000 horse and he could break his leg as easily as this $8,000 horse. You know, so just the awareness that's happening and the value of them, it's just, it's so heartwarming. Like I was just so happy all day yesterday.
What else I love about these retired racehorses? Because I joke that I don't like to ride racehorses because they're too much for me. But I did have some retired racehorses when I was younger, and I love that they're like broke at 1.5. They've been everywhere. Like Jamie, you're talking about Edward. He's been to these huge racetracks.
Right.
They ship.
That's what she was saying,
they load. They are used to being around all different people and having tons of people ride them. And they're
you
used
can just
to
tie them up.
Right. Yeah, so they're it's great.
Exactly. And she was like, you can have a homebred baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said, you can spend all this money on a homebred warm blood that's never left a farm, that's never been in a field, that's never gone trail riding, that's never seen any people, you know, and you're going to have to spend a year getting just going to shows just to give them the experience of going to shows, not to actually, you know, try and compete.
Right.
And she's like, or you could get, you know, a 3 or 4 year old on all of that. And then you can immediately focus on training them, you know, to be the horse that whatever you're competing in.
Well, Stephanie, we've got to run, but I do look forward to seeing your Facebook post and definitely post on the Horses in the Morning or Auditor's page, anything exciting that happens. And we do appreciate you getting up early and get out there to the horse park. There's more riding to see.
No problem at all. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Stephanie. Now, Wendy, before we get to our next guest, Mary Miller Jordan is going to talk to us a little bit here in a sec. I do believe that you have some experience with a Kentucky Performance product.
Oh, yes. Well, I have used Kentucky Performance products in the past, and I recommend them for my clients. But just recently, my poor little baby Dante was diagnosed with EPM.
Oh.
And I know, but EPM is not a death sentence anymore. And we had Dr. Ellison from Pathogenes on the Driving Radio Show talk about some newer tests and treatments about EPM. So luckily, we caught it early and he's being treated. But one of the best things you can do to add to your regime of any kind of neurologic disease is add high dose of vitamin E to their diet. And horses can get vitamin E from really fresh grass, but most of us don't have access to a lot of grass, or we don't have grass all year. Like right now, our grass in Florida stopped growing. So I need to give my little Dante high dose vitamin E. And Kentucky Performance Products has a product called Elevate, and they also have a liquid form, the WS, and that is really highly bioavailable. And I can make sure that my horse is getting the number of international units he needs for his neurologic problem. So it's a really easy and affordable way to get a high dose vitamin E into your horse's diet. I really love it. And then you can switch to a maintenance formula that's a powdered formula.
Yeah, because I have the Elevate Maintenance too. So, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad it's working out. You guys can check them out at kppusa.com. You can't get a better person to talk about it than a veterinarian. So if the vet says it's good, it's good. Okay.
It's
kppusa.com. Now we have our next guest on the line. And I don't know her, but I feel like I do because I watch her videos on Facebook all the time. She's a Mustang trainer, does a lot of Mustang makeovers, but also just adopted a BLM donkey. Now that is not, again, where I feel the most connected to you, Mary Miller Jordan. I feel the most connected to you on a post that you made on October 26th on your personal Facebook page that says, and Wendy, you're going to be able to relate. Does anyone else have a chicken that comes inside when you leave your door open? There's always one that hangs close to the house and comes in any chance he gets. He's pecking under my feet right now in my kitchen. Now, Mary Miller Jordan, I also too have a chicken that wanders in the house. And currently, my co-host Wendy has a duck next to her.
Yes, my baby Chrissy.
That is so hilarious. And did you notice all the comments under that? I didn't even do a picture. There was no video. Like, it was just words. I mean, I really was not expecting all this response. And it's apparently we're not the only one.
It just goes to make me feel a little bit more normal about myself.
I think our abnormalities are a lot more normal than any of us realize, to be honest.
And Wendy, tell everybody about your duck that you have sitting with you.
Oh, my duck, Chrissy. It was my first attempt at hatching duck eggs. So I put 7 in the incubator, but only 1 hatched. So she's kind of like an orphan. You know, she doesn't have any sisters. So,
she has you.
I know. She has me because you know how I am about baby animals. So she's my little pet duck.
You're that way about all animals. Well, Mary, I wanted to have you on because I followed along. Alisa Wallace is on our show all the time, and I love following her, and I call her a friend. She helped me pick out my Mustangs. But you had a post that – just tell us what happened with the whole burrow.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yes, with this burrow. Well, you know, I've been doing the Mustangs for quite some time, and I have a herd of 7 formerly wild Mustangs. And, I mean, they're addictive. And as you know,
God, I'm on my way. I already have 2.
Been fascinated. There you go. Well,
Alisa Wallace
get
was
ready.
Right.
They'll keep coming.
She said they're like potato chips. You can't have one.
They are. And she also helped enable this last endeavor for me. I have been fascinated with the BLM burrows for quite some time. And I mean, it's been a couple years I've been thinking about just wanting to get one. And there's so many out there, but they're way out west as far as where their actual HMA is. Like, there's a whole lot in California and out that way. And, but you know, they bring them east with the adoption. And anyway, there was an adoption recently and there were a couple of burros there. And I called up Lisa and I said, so what do the burros look like? And she said, well, there's one left. And he's 7 years old, which is probably why he was left, because he's a little bit older. But she sent me pictures and video of him, and I just thought he was just the coolest looking thing. And so we worked it out where she could pick him up, and I picked him up from her place, and I've got him home, and he is hilarious. It's so different in so many ways from a horse. And I mean, he's one burro. I'm sure all burros have their own personalities, just like all horses have their own personalities. But this guy, I mean, he has been very and not afraid of humans from day one. I mean, very gentle in that regard, but very cautious about everything else. He does not want to go anywhere near the horses. He's not sure about them yet. And just the way he communicates with me it's different. It's like I can see him thinking, and he takes his time to think. Like, whereas with horses, I mean, we all should give them time to think, really. I mean, we all, I think, would have better communication if we created that space for our horses. But horses, you know, you can push, you can kind of get them to move on with the game and push on through something. A donkey, no. I mean, he is going to take his sweet time. And it's really been fun and enlightening, kind of, you know, the process of letting him take his time. And then I've just become fascinated with what it is he's going to think through and what's going to show up on the other side of that thought process. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm here at Monty Roberts Farm right now, flag is up, and I've been studying for the intro exam, and part of it was actually on donkeys, and it talks about the difference in the psychology and the reason donkeys get labeled as stubborn, because donkeys, you know, where horses are fight or flight, donkeys their first inclination is freeze. And process it, you know, and freeze and think about it. And then, of course, fight or flight's in there too. But that's why donkeys get labeled as stubborn, because they just what you've noticed is they sit back and they think about it. It's like, I wonder what's good, you know, and they have to weigh their options, I guess, which makes them, I don't know, gosh, it's got to be so much more challenging and patience testing.
I think it is in a way, but then I think it's just so good for me and everything that I do with any other horses and with my children and with myself, because it really proves to you that you really do need to take the time to let the other person in the relationship process what it is you're discussing. Mm-hmm. And I have the coolest thing that happened to him with us that I really think just embraces this. We had worked on trailer loading one day, and he did really well with that. He, you know, learned how to get in the trailer, and that was very, very uneventful. Went very, very well. He figured that out. Like, he knew, okay, I'm supposed to get on the trailer, and that's what I do. And he's very comfortable on the trailer and whatnot. Well, the next day, I was working with him, and we were in the round pen. The trailer was still set up there, available, but we weren't working on getting in it at all. And I was just doing some stuff with him and kind of laying over his back, and he was being so quiet, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and just sit up here on him, because ultimately, I think it would be really cool if he was a riding donkey for my kids, you know, if that ends up evolving that way. And he was just so ready. So I sat up there on him, and he's totally relaxed. I mean, he was ready for me to be up there. And I'm sitting there, and he's standing there, and I'm sitting there, and he's just hanging out. And all of a sudden, after we had sat there for quite some time, he just starts walking. And it was very deliberate. Like, lots of times when you first get on a horse and they take a first step, sometimes it's a little uneasy, like, oh my goodness, what's going on top of me? Nothing like that. It was very, it was very thought out. And he literally just starts walking and loads us up in the horse trailer out of the blue. I'm sitting on him. Oh yeah, I'm on him. And he just literally loads us up in the horse trailer and then stops and stands. And it was so crystal clear that it was like, oh, wow, he thought about it. This was this new thing. I'd never sat on him before. And he was thinking, okay, so what could she want with this? Are we just going to stand here? And he did stand there for quite some time. But then it was like he thought about it, and he remembered, oh, okay, well, the last thing we did was we got on the horse trailer. Maybe that's what he wants. And he did it. And he did it so calmly. And I think the thing that was just blew me away was how thought out it was, and how it was very deliberate. Every step he took was so deliberate and pointed, just right on that horse trailer. It was his plan. And I've just been, like, fascinated with him ever since.
He's like, how can I get her off? Okay. What is she asking?
And I thought about that, but you know, it's funny. Yeah. And I don't know if he was trying to get me off or not, but it really felt more like he was trying to figure out what I wanted. Like we were in this together, and we had done this thing before, because he didn't seem like he minded at all me being up there.
He'd let you know if he
and
did.
He very easily could have. Yeah, he could have. I was just sitting on a bareback with, you know, I mean, he could have done anything. But yeah, I mean, he chose to think it out and then do this thing that we had done the day before that he had, you know, been so pleased with. So it's just hilarious.
That is fantastic. That just goes to show you, like, how he's learning. He's like, well, I don't know what you want, but let's just give this one a shot.
Okay, I need to do this. I have a deep sense right here.
That's great. So
yeah,
what?
And to get...
So what are your plans with him in the future? You're going to make him a riding donkey for your son, a burro for your son?
Well, I two daughters. I mean, if that's what involves, that'll be great. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do anything. But I mean, I would love to have him be a part of my herd. I mean, you know, I've done all these makeovers. I have all these Mustangs, and I'm in love with all of them. And so that has kind of evolved to me doing this stuff with them as a group, as a herd, because, you know, I want to continue to do stuff with all of them. And you can't ride all of them at one time but actually you kind of can if you ride one and the others are at liberty with you. So that, and I've just had so much fun with that. And so I think it would be so cool, you know, to have this wild burro in the mix of that dynamic. Even though it's going to be interesting, because right now he doesn't really care to hang with the horses. I definitely plan to get another burro as well. There's going to be at the next makeover, the next Mustang makeover in Florida, they're going to have a burro division where you can do like an in-hand burro makeover. And I'm thinking that would just be so fun. Would that be cool?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what I think would be cool is that I'm looking at your Facebook page right now, and you have to where you're sitting on one of your Mustangs bareback, and the other ones are kind of flanking you and they're off to the side, and they look so tall, and their manes are blowing in the wind, and they're so beautiful and exotic looking. And just to have that peaceful, serene picture and a little donkey at the end would make me so happy.
Yeah, that would be so cool. And what I thought would be so awesome too is, you know, I usually will ride one and then the others mirror with me. I mean, you know, I think Amigo at some point should be the one that gets to be ridden and all the wild Mustangs follow him, because I just think that would just be cool.
Oh, Amigo. That'd be awesome. I got to ask you.
Me Amigo, that's his name.
Before we let you go, I got to ask, what is your daily schedule? What do you do during the day? How do you get all this done?
We have a farm, and we have dairy goats, and we do goat milk soap. And then we also do all these horse adventures, and we do our best to live a life that enables us to be here at the farm and do stuff with our horses and our family and be together and all that good stuff. So I think about horses all the time.
Where is your farm?
We are in close to Wilmington, North Carolina. We're in a little tiny town of Kelly in southeastern North Carolina.
Okay, so you are the, let's see, do you have any makeovers coming up, or are you taking a little donkey break?
I have my herd. I also have a nonprofit that I started that my herd helps me with, where we do retreats and we help people emotionally heal, and the horses are they are the facilitators for that. So, I mean, that's really where my heart is now too. And I don't know, when they said we could do a little burrow challenge, that was hard for me to turn down. But I mean, I have seven Mustangs, and I have another one that I have my eye on that's not through a makeover. So I'm just really loving the other things that I can do with them separate from the makeovers. I do love the makeover world, and I love going and doing demonstrations. I took four of the herd, those that you see in the picture, and we did demos and stuff at the last makeover they had in Virginia. And it was just a blast. It was like I got to do the makeover, but with four of my own horses. So I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. They're very beautiful. And it's nice to see a woman riding around on a Mustang with a helmet too, by the way. Now you're not.
Well, that was for my kids. I mean, I can't tell them and then not do it, you know?
Absolutely. Your website is iamherd.com, H-E-R-D, iamherd.com. And you can follow Mary on Facebook. I'm assuming you have multiple social medias that I have no idea about.
Yes, that we have. Bee Life Farm is our farm with the goat milk soap, and then Mary Miller Jordan is my like horse business side of things, and then I Am Herd is the nonprofit, and I do have a lot of different social media sites, but I kind of share them all through my personal page, so you can always find it there.
Wonderful. Well, we really appreciate you being on, and enjoy those potato chips ears, and enjoy that little burro, and give him a kiss for us.
I will do it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on and telling us about it. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Bye. Oh my gosh. She's so inspirational. When you look at her pictures and videos, it's just incredible. Well, hey,
I'm so glad you asked her how she gets all this done in one day. I don't understand how she does it.
If I could ride one and have the rest at Liberty, I'd get a lot more done.
Yeah, see?
But then look at all the other stuff she does. Hats, nonprofit, she has kids.
Goats, goat milk, goat
soap.
Oh,
yeah, goats. I don't know how she does it.
I don't know how she does it either. Obviously, she has a lot of energy. So we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back with finding out if I passed or failed. Awesome. Can't wait. The song, because if I don't pass, I'm going to go drinking.
You're going to pass. My fingers are crossed.
Stay out of the still house. Sweet gin corn. Jane, stay out of the still house. Jane, stay out of the still house. Don't you go around there anymore. I know you like that lightning in a bottle. I know you love the way it makes you feel. Fills you up with whiskey wisdom. Takes away your inhibitions. Trouble finds you there. Sipping turns, turning up the jug. You don't know when enough's enough. And girl, the crazy things you do. So I'm begging you, Jane, stay out of the still house. Jane, stay out of the still house. I know you love that sweet Virginia corn.
At Stillhouse, Jane Templeton Thompson, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. You can find them at kppusa.com. And let's see.
Hi.
Uh-oh, is she not here?
Well, here's the scoop. I don't think, did you give me the phone number for the classroom?
Uh-oh, maybe.
You might not be able to take Skype calls down there. So I'm just going to call the main switchboard in there and see if I
can. No, she's on her cell phone.
Ah, she might have it set up to take, let's not to take unknown calls.
I can't stand the suspense.
Oh, the suspense. Oh, my gosh. Dun, 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 give me the envelope.
I can't take it. Talk amongst yourselves. I want you. Why don't you guys go over the whole Facebook post, and I'll be back.
Did your mom?
Does your mom ride?
Now, were your mom was horsey, wasn't she?
No, my mother decided that we were gonna ride because she liked the outfits. But
that's awesome.
When she, yeah, and then she thought, oh, this is what hoity-toity people do. So she took us down to the local riding stable, which was like, I mean, not hoity-toity at all. It was like a very low level backyard place, which was super fun, you know. And I had this like awesome Shetland pony that I learned to ride on. But when she realized it wasn't all glamorous, like it wasn't Madison Square Gardens every day, she wanted me to quit riding. But by then, I was already hooked.
She didn't like the mud. Did you get an outfit to ride in, or did you just go in your jeans?
Well, at first, you know, she wanted me to go to this, I mean, muddy stable riding in a. And I was riding Western when I started, you know, that's how they started the kids. And she had this, you know, the little outfit with the breeches, and I had the little straps and my paddock boots and whatnot. Oh, but that only lasted for a little while.
Oh,
It did not fit in. It was not appropriate. What about you? Did your mom ride?
Yes. From all of us got our riding gene from our mom. It's all her fault.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. What kind of riding did she do?
She didn't grow up ever. She had never had a horse, but she would go down to the local state police barracks stables.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up. And she would hang out down there at the stables and pester the policemen and pet the ponies and feed them carrots and take pony rides on them. So that's how she would get her pony fixed when she was a little kid.
Oh, that's so great.
Much later in life, when she was married and an adult and they bought a home that had a couple of acres with it, they went to the local meat auction and bought a horse. And we were off and running from there. Yeah. And all six of us kids rode. We all had little meat auction reject ponies who were just, yeah, we were a hot mess.
Hey, that's why you're such a good rider now.
Hey, what doesn't kill you kills you makes you smarter, right? And yeah. I must say all of us are alive, so we all got a little bit smarter.
That's right. So what was your first pony's name? Do you remember your first pony's name?
The first pony that the family owned was named Tex.
Oh.
Tex was very short-lived. He was a stallion. He was a really bad ad. And we bought
He was a stallion?
He was a stallion. We didn't know the difference. He was a stallion. He was baby. He was probably like a 2 or 3 or 4 year old, something like that.
Right.
We didn't know the difference. Bought him at an auction. We tied him to a big long rope attached to a cinder block.
No way.
In a field.
So he wouldn't get away?
Well, the field didn't have any fence, therefore the cinder block.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was this in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and it did not end well for Tex.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bridge. And then we got another one. And the next horse was utterly and thoroughly broke. She was perfect for a family who literally knew nothing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she was awesome. And everybody called her ugly because back in the day, they didn't appreciate a horse shaped like her. Nowadays, she was shaped like a warm blood. She was gorgeous.
Right.
But because she had a big Roman nose, everybody thought she was ugly, so I'm sure she was cheap.
Okay, Jennifer, sorry to interrupt. So I just typed to you her Skype name because she's out of minutes. She's got a German phone number. Like, had to buy minutes for a phone, so it's out of minutes. So.
Oh, that's her Skype name? I can't type that. Good golly.
I know.
Is this some long German thing with a lot of consonants?
She tried to have her spell it to you. It was even more fun.
I don't know how to copy and paste on a Mac.
This is ridiculous.
Copy. There we go.
And now you got her?
I wonder how I ask for a contact request on Skype. Let's see.
All right, Wendy. So anyway, sorry, what did I miss?
We're talking about moms Jen's. Yeah, Jen's first horses. What about you? Did your mom ride, Jamie?
I think my mom had a brief stint in college taking lessons at a local place, but it was definitely not her passion. I was just kind of the only one really that I can even think of. I mean, again, like my mom must have liked it because she paid for some riding lessons when she was in college, but I don't think she took very many. I'm not sure. I get... You know, every time you talk to my mama, you get a different story. So I don't know. But no, I definitely cannot. I think my grandfather had a donkey.
Oh, awesome. And so then how did you get started riding if your mom did she take you down to the local stable?
I was super annoying as a child, super annoying. And I wanted a pony every Christmas and I would look under the tree and be disappointed that there was not a box with a sleeping pony in it. I don't know why I thought that. But when I was 6 or 7, my parents bought an investment property, 12 acres in Atlanta. And so we were going to get a pony. And the first pony I ever had, her name was Misty. And she was 30 plus and a rack of bones. Like she's almost dead. Somebody gave her to my parents. It was the neighbor of my grandparents or whatever. So anyway, it was. And then a slew of ponies ensued after that because we'd go to the local auction on Friday night. Oh, ourselves a Shetland.
Oh yes, the Friday night auctions.
Yeah. So Well, maybe, let's see. Well, I'm trying to get her to accept your request. I'm typing and talking at the same time. So why don't we maybe go into really bad ads and then we'll just save the suspense for the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Oh, my gosh. You're crazy. So why don't we get this over with, because it's the most important part of really bad ads from my point of view. This month's prize. Woohoo!
Yay!
This month, we've got a pair of SureFit pads from Wendy Murdoch and the Murdoch Method. You might be familiar with her because she's written all those 5-minute fixes books, which are so handy. And this prize has a $130 value. The SureFoot Equine Stability Program is your horse's path to improved performance, comfort, and confidence. Developed by internationally known riding instructor Wendy Murdoch. The official SureFoot pads are specifically designed for use with horses by horse owners, riders, trainers, and equine body workers. The SureFoot program and pads give you the tools to make a profound difference in your horse. By following the instructions in the contained DVD, you can provide your horse with the opportunity to become more self-aware of his posture, stance, and movement. Watch as he explores his weight on each hoof, calms himself, and moves with great ease and efficiency with or without the weight of a rider. And your horse will thank you for offering him SureFoot. I'm going to try this with Nigel so much. And you can.
I know. I'm interested in this. I want to see this.
I really want to try this with Nigel because he has poor posture and he needs a chiropractic adjustment. Thank you. I'll be down tonight. TheMurdochMethod.com is where you'll find more.
Fantastic. Play the bumper.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
And it is that time of the week. Just to add to my stress, I don't know why I did this to myself, Wendy. You know, now I have to wait till the end of the show. So we're working on it. I'm like, just drive here. You live 10 minutes away. So we'll see. I mean, it is literally 7:02 in the morning here, and she probably does go to work for quite a while. So I'm kind of a jerk for asking. But if not, then
she's a horse person. She's used to being up early.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's on German time. Right?
I think she's been here for like 5 years. So, Jennifer, just so you know, she's going to try to reload minutes into her phone and we'll just call her after really bad ads. Okay.
Can do that. You bet.
All right. Well, Wendy, let's see. We've got the first one is yours.
Okay. Our first really bad ad is from Beth as Wiegand. 1 year old mare, great trail horse, can shoot off her and will ride good with other horses or by herself. Rides at night as good as in day and don't have to put shoes on.
You ride.
That's pretty night. Good for 1 year old. You can do everything with her.
So she rides at night. Who rides her? I'm confused.
She rides in the nighttime as good as in the day. And you don't need to put shoes.
Doesn't have to put shoes on. You can go out like your bedroom slippers. Is that what they mean?
Oh, that would be a good horse for me. But my biggest thing is, like, she's only 1 year old. That's great for a baby horse.
Oh, my God. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, 1 year old.
You 1 year old and you're shooting off of her? Sorry, I'm trying to type. And then all that came in a little bit behind. All right. So... Very
it's
good.
Because
Beth.
She's so traumatized. She's a baby. And this person's done everything with her. So she's broke.
Beth, I hope you called and told these people that either they had a misprint or they're jerks. All right. Okay. Hold on 1 second.
You know what it's like? It's like that. You know, that game show was like The Price is Right. Because she's obviously forgotten a digit here. And let's hope it's like a 2 and she's 12. Let's hope it's not like a 3 and she's 31, you know, but you don't know.
That's true. Maybe it is a typo. Otherwise, poor little <Let's> baby. <hope.
laughs> Or somebody go save the baby.
Yes, exactly. All right. Joy sent in the next one. Sweet yearling male mule, $400. And this is Stockbridge. Oh, hell yeah, that's Georgia, baby. Sweet yearling male mule, $400. He's currently be staying out in the pasture with many, many adjustments till I think we did it. What?
I don't know. Don't get it.
I recently got this baby with the mindset of keeping him and letting him just be a baby for a couple years and keeping my older gelding company. But we're working on halter training and getting him more comfortable with having more physical contact with people. He's coming around nicely and follows you anywhere for cookies. He responds quickly to kind, natural horsemanship skills. Here's my problem. You knew it had to come.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It was too good to be true.
He will not respect hot wire pasture fencing. It's like it's not even there, and he plows in and out of the pasture at will, and I'm worried he'll get caught up in it. So he pretty much free roams within the side of my Arabian, and that's not going to safely work in the long term. He will have to be kept in a pasture with wooden fences and or horse panels because triple hot wire is useless. We are upset our home isn't working out because we can't upgrade the pasture that we need to have to meet his needs. It ain't his fault. He's a great guy, and he's friendly with my Arabian, and watching him run and jump is adorable.
Aww,
he is in need of being gelded. And that said, that now's the time. The picture of him with the pig makes him look crazy small, but he ain't that small, and he is safe with pigs. He's safe with chickens, cats, and dogs, too.
You know what? That must be the pig's gigantic. It's probably like a commercial sow, like an 800-pound sow he's standing next to.
I don't know, but I just do appreciate the fact that he was dumb pig right now, and he's pig broke. Because that's what I'm looking for, something that'll run through a fence and has broken pigs. Okay, so my question is, how come the Arabian stays in if the horse has run through the fence? Wouldn't that kind of...
He's probably terrified. He's like, oh my God, there's wire there. And look at that huge pig outside. He's not going out there.
All right. Well, I think I have the next one too. I don't know why after that excellent reading I just did. Paramares. $5,000 in Levon, Utah, or Levin. Sounded more fun to say Levon. Have two mare for sale. No, sorry. There was not a period there. Have two mare for sale one. She is 4 and a 6 year. They have been work as a team and are broke. What the hell are you selling? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Good ad. Wow. Good ad. Okay, you're next.
All right, the next one. Mini Mare, $50. Champion, Mississippi. Roughly 38-inch tall Mini Mare. Huh?
Is there a cell phone what? Or somebody's microphone?
Do you have your cell phone near the microphone, Wendy?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
No, I hear some static, too.
Yeah.
All right. My cell phone's off. Sorry.
It's when you talk, the static comes on, isn't it, Jennifer?
Your mic there,
Okay.
Unplug, replug, something.
Yeah, okay, better?
Testing. Okay. All right. Mini Mare, $50. Roughly 38-inch tall Mini Mare who's 7 to 8 years old. Needs work on respecting fence.
Hang on with the last one.
Yeah. Could stand to lose some weight. Had some training before I got her from a relative with health issues who could no longer take care of her. I have no use for her. $50. OBO. That's awful. Why am I getting the sad ones? I want to rescue this one too. I'm going to take the baby horse, the 1 year old, and this mini mare.
Yeah, it's a problem with really bad ads that I have is that I end up wanting to go get all of them.
That's why I take the phone numbers out so that Jamie doesn't get them all.
That or, you know, I'll call him live on the air and be like, what are you doing? Gailed that thing.
Did anybody ever pick up when you called live?
She won't give me the phone numbers.
When they had a big longhorn cow that you could ride it or eat it, we called them, but they didn't answer.
Oh, really? Oh, God. You can ride it or eat it. Oh, gosh. Our next trailer is a classic. It is a 19. This one was sent in. Oh, I think Jennifer found this one. Best cash offer, $800. And this is in Catawissa. Is that Florida?
I don't think. It must be Alabama.
Yeah, it's down south somewhere, but I don't remember where.
Okay. By the way, Jen, you can call Denise. Best cash offer, $800. 1971 two-horse trailer pulls good down road, needs tires. Clear title.
Hmm.
Best cash offer by Thursday, takes or trade for something fun that doesn't need fed. Now, this is a beautiful two-horse rounded front trailer from the 70s that looks like it's been painted several times. Because it has not been painted well several times. You can see the paint coming through. Or is that rust? Wendy, what do you think?
I think it's rust.
Okay. There's mold, too. So I'm kind of getting it confused. I do.
I see the mold.
Yeah. I do think the bungee cord holding the door closed is a nice touch. And whatever that is in the front, does it come with those wooden things that are up front?
I think that's a chicken ramp. I think it's the chicken ramp for the chickens to sleep in the manger.
That's a great idea. beautiful. This is beautiful. All right, you're in the next one.
Okay, wanted. Horse in Colorado. I'm looking for a horse. One that is husband, beginner-proof sound, healthy, and can handle a heavy person. Nothing fancy. Best if not trained to leg cues and leg pressure. I like shorter, stout horses best. Color, breed, doesn't matter. Thanks.
One that's husband-proof, beginner-proof, healthy, take a fat person.
You know what? And also, she forgot to add, they want it to be under $200.
Of course.
Or free.
Or we'll trade you for a goat or something.
Yeah. Or the trailer.
That's probably the trailer person. No, because they wanted to trade for something that don't eat.
Oh, yeah.
Another Alabama one. See, you're just bringing home my Southern flair today, Jennifer. Ramona sent this one in. Ramona, quarter horse, $500 in Union Grove, Alabama. Oh, Lord have mercy. Here we go. This is a stud. His name's Booger. He's about 15-1-ish. I'm thinking he's almost four. We got him as a rescue to fatten him up, and we ain't cut him because he doesn't act like a stud, and he's just a pasture ornament for us, so he ain't got a Coggins. A stall is his safe place. So if someone's willing to work with him, he will do great.
First of all, why do people from Alabama think Booger is a good name for any animal?
I don't know, but why also will people from Alabama not yell that?
That costs money.
You're right. That's at least, you know, on those, $700. That's amazing. All right. The next one was sent in by Stephanie in Search Up.
Is this mine?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. You got the next one, so I'll just read this one. ISO looking for black and white. I'm looking for a black and white or any paints. Not too old. It can be a baby.
Oh, good.
So me what you got? That's okay. They're looking for a paint horse. Doesn't matter what it is. You've got the next one as well.
Oh, cute. Blue Roan Pony Horse, $4,000. Woo, it's thoroughbred prices. Blueberry is a 12-year-old pony horse. She runs barrels poles. You can step off her for goats. She's not for beginners.
She runs barrels poles and you can step off of her for goat?
Yeah.
What is that something I don't know about?
Well, I guess if you want to like goat wrestle or something, don't people like wrestle with goats?
Goat wrestling?
I don't know, but I just like the way you just said wrestle.
Yeah. No wrestling.
Oh, I love it. All right.
But if you're a beginner, forget it. You have to go with a different horse because she's not for beginners.
I know. Definitely not a beginner goat wrestling horse. All right. So the next really bad ad, and again, as you recall, we read these as written. Paint Gelden, $4,000. And this is in Denver, Colorado. Apache is a friendly gelding that is about 10 years old. He does not have papers. However, a few major perks are like that he's rideable.
Good.
He can ride. He's kid friendly and has a smooth gait, G-A-T-E. He is approximately 12 hands.
Oh, cute.
Not like a tiny little pony. Yeah. Price can be negotiated, but I need it gone ASAP. Love it. Well, thanks to everybody that submitted those really bad ads. You are in the running for the prize next week. The pair of firm Surefoot pads and from the Murdoch Method. So if you're not familiar with that, you can go back and listen. I think last week's show we had her on. So now it is the time, Wendy.
Oh, it's time.
Okay, so
I can't wait.
Before I bring Denise on to tell you, I told her, I said, yeah, sure, you know, do what I say, whatever you're gonna say, you whatever, don't hold back, let it go, be honest. And then I thought, maybe don't be 100% honest,
right?
Like, just, you know, like, I don't want to cry on the air. And then I also don't want her to deter anybody else from coming and taking this course just because I screwed up. So without further ado, we're going to bring Denise Heinlein on, who is the head instructor here at Flag Is Up Farms. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us, I hope. So we've had a heck of a week. Why don't you describe to people just briefly, because I've kind of talked about it, what we did this week and what the point of it all is.
Well, we did this week the introductory exam, and this is the point of it all, is to get people to be knowing more about horses and get you to be a better horseman, we hope. So the intro exam is like after your introductory course of 2 weeks here at Flag Is Up Farms. And therefore, we test you if you're good enough and you have all the knowledge which you need to go on to come back for the advanced exam and advanced course. So this is all the journey to become a Monty Roberts instructor. And so you're halfway there.
Hopefully.
If you want to keep going with it after the introductory exam. Yeah, well, what did we do? We did first like have a few training sessions so that everybody has the chance to like kind of work on the small little details which maybe have to be like addressed again. And then it's like in a four parts, two parts the practical exam and two parts of written exam.
Now, the practical exam, we did the full join up, and then yesterday I had a dually halter session, and to basically take a horse in that you are teaching about the dually halter and kind of how it works, and you're tested on the four steps of the dually halter. So that was really interesting too. And that all of these things that I've learned and worked on this week are so practical because they are things that I will use in my everyday life. And I am so confident. I feel like I was so confident on Monday coming into this that I knew what I was going to do. Of course, a couple days of practice, and I actually practiced like really well, really well. And then the test happened and I don't know what happened to my brain. I just forgot everything. I was like completely bumbling idiot in there. And then add the pressure of having Monty's horse Chrome as my demo, my test horse, like don't break it, you know? how'd I do?
Well, I think you did very well for the introductory exam. It is like the main, we are looking for the basements, because then in the advanced course we have like 3 weeks where we can keep working on all of those small details and the timing and everything. But yeah, I mean, you are right. I was like just a tiny little bit disappointed about the exam, because, but that's like totally human, you know, when you want something so badly, then the we can't help to like get adrenaline up, and then you know what happens when adrenaline is up, you can't really do your best, especially when you have to focus and do things like this. But I mean, it was all good. It could have been excellent, I have to say, but it's a testing, and you will get to the point where you become like that good, and that the nerves then don't matter anymore, because you are so in tune with the horses and focus only on your horse, what your horse needs in that moment. And that helps most of the advanced student then to pass the exam when Monty is sitting up there, not only me.
Oh, God, that's super stressful. That's one of the advanced students did tell me, she's an intern now. She passed her advanced exam, and she said that in the advanced course, she only cried like 15 times and actually said she wanted to sell her horses halfway through. It's like, I can't do it. And that is the point. I don't know how I have survived having horses this long with as little as I feel like I get to know. But in the end of the week, you know, like you're saying, I have learned so much about horses, and it's changed the way that I deal with horses. So without further ado, again, please tell me, did I pass?
Dear Jamie, yes, you did pass our introductory.
Oh, yay!
Yay, I did it!
Pass.
Yeah, did it. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chili.
I think that you will be surprised, and you will have those up and downs, because everybody of us did have them. You know, when you go in and you say like, yes, I know everything. And then the horse is telling you, hey, wait a minute. You have to listen to me and not kind of prove that you can do it. And this is hard work, hard work to let those guards down and really admit where you have to keep on working and practice to be the best for the horses as we can. So, but I think you have the right mindset and like the willing to go for it. So therefore, I'm looking forward to soon in the next year's time and hopefully call you a colleague of mine.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. That would be so great.
Yeah.
I did realize that, you know, when I had my disappointing moment in the round pin, that I think, Wendy, the realization was when I was, because if I show a horse and things go bad, I can shrug that off easily. And I don't let much bother me. But when my screw up happened, I was so like, I didn't even know the feeling that I was having, because it was so unfamiliar to me. And what it made me realize is how actually bad I wanted to do well, and like how bad I want this, and how bad I don't want to fail at this, and how bad I want to move forward. So it was definitely kind of one of those moments of like, wow, I actually care about this very, you know. And like Glenn was like saying, he's like, oh yeah, you know, something about you cheated your way through high school, you're cheat your way. And I'm like, I don't, aww, I didn't want to cheat. I wanted to actually learn.
Right.
Like, for God's sake, I am going to pass one test that I haven't cheated on. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm giving
over. Well done.
You did a great job.
Well, Denise, thank you very much for being so patient with me and so attentive. And for those who are thinking about taking the course, let me just plug it. Go to MontyRoberts.com. You can find out when the courses are. They are going to have an advanced course, I think, next April, Denise said. So hopefully I'll be able to make that and make Rolex. But so that's going to be, but you can check it out. And the intro course, even if you don't have aspirations of becoming a certified Monty Roberts trainer, it's just really incredible information on horse behavior and learning about how horses think and how you can calm your adrenaline sometimes and deal with horses in a better way. And I'm just amazed at how kind my horses have been to me in the past, because I have yelled at them with my body language for so long and they have tolerated me, but I sure could have got things done a lot faster and easier and with less problems if I would have known all this a long time ago. So you're never too old. Okay. Yeah. I'm staying in a bunkhouse with a bunch of 20 somethings who are partying and having fun and working and have energy beyond belief. And it's 8:00 and I'm yawning and I'm ready to go to bed. So it has definitely been an exciting week. And Denise, I just want to thank you for your unending patience and kindness and tolerance, I guess.
No, my pleasure. I love to have people come to us and learn about this method and to be better to the horses, because as you already said, they are so wonderful creatures. I mean, we're just like, it's our responsibility to be as good to them as we can. So therefore, I'm glad that you're here and you're one more who is going this direction, because as you say, the horses are so happy and they really realize when we are changing and start to understand their behavior and how they think and learn and all that, and to make it a better place for the horses.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're a big part of that too. Thanks for being such a good teacher. And I'll see you around 9 o'clock in the classroom, okay?
Okay, see you then.
But the pressure's off. I can actually...
Bye-bye, nice talking to you.
Bye. Bye, Denise. I can have a beer now. I'm ready to have a drink.
I was nervous.
So you were going to have a drink regardless of what the results were.
This is true. It is 7:25 here, so I think I'll hold off at least until, well... Maybe
you can
when
have
I
a mimosa.
Yeah.
See, that's a breakfast drink. That's an acceptable morning beverage. Have a mimosa. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go to bed. I feel so much better. But it is sad when somebody says they were disappointed in you. But you know what?
But it's just because she's German. You can't be perfect for Germans. That's the hard part about having a German teacher.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Glenn was like, when you're taking your test, are you going to have some nun tapping you on the knuckles with a ruler? And I said, no, I'm going to have a German doing it. But yeah, I disappoint. You know what? I won't ever make that mistake again that I made. I mean, I told Chad what I did and he was like, big deal. I'm like, it is a big deal. I forgot to put the long line through the stirrup. And I sent Chrome off and he goes off and there's like long line flapping around. I still was holding it, like I didn't drop it, but it's flapping around over by his face as he's making a turn. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And Denise stopped. Is this the way that you do it at home? No. I don't. So anyway,
I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. We have a thing that's like this for driving. And I had to take my level one is for beginners, right? All you have to do is hook up a single. But my test person was Gloria Austin. And I was terrified.
No pressure.
I forget how to hook a single.
I've never done this before.
Like, so dumb.
But stupid is that Monday and Tuesday, that's all we did was join up in long lining. Like practice. And Wednesday morning, I'm an idiot. Like what?
It's test anxiety. You have performance anxiety.
I have massive performance anxiety. Oh, well, I'll have to get over that by the time. Because the advanced exam, Monty is the one that's sitting up there silently judging. Okay.
You know what you need? You need to do lavender essential oils.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Next test, I'm taking the Wendy stockpile with me, and we're gonna essential. They're gonna be like, "Why do you smell like that?" Listen, I'm calming myself.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. All right. Well, we have come to the end of our show. Wendy, thank you so much for being Glenn today.
Thanks for having me.
You did a wonderful job. It's always a pleasure to have all girls on. I mean, even our guests were girls.
I know. All girl day.
We're awesome. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'm going to go relax a little bit. I've been nervous wreck all show. And just so you guys know, I do this out of love. I torture myself out of your entertainment. So you can thank me later. And Wendy, thank you very much. Jennifer, as always, thanks for such a great week. And I'm going to head home. I'm heading to the airport here in a little bit. So... flying back to the farm, but everybody have a great one. Spay, neuter, and geld. Wendy, do you have a catchphrase?
Keep the shiny side up.
All right, there you go.